Welcome to Becoming Parents Podcast. I'm your host, Jennifer Campbell. I'm a doula in Washoe County, Nevada, a Medicaid provider, a lactation educator, childbirth educator, and mom of 18. You can find me and connect on doulainreno.com. Remember, give a shout out to those who are brave enough to share their stories with us on how they have become parents. Let's dive in. Welcome to Becoming Parents Podcast. I'm Jennifer Campbell, the host. I'm with Chandra Zaz. How are you today?
I'm stoked to be here. Thank you, Jennifer.
And we actually know each other. This is a local bonus episode, and they've become my favorite episodes because I know you. We've met. I see you once a month. So I'm super excited about this. Why don't you jump in and discuss your parenting journey?
Thank you, Jennifer.
You're welcome.
Yes. So my parenting journey, I think a really good place to start is actually when I was around the age of 12. Mm. And I realized that my health was not great. I actually had started my period around that time. I had horrific periods. And I now really realize like I was a pretty sick kid. Yeah. And so I remember having this thought, I don't know if I'll ever be able to have kids. Like I really felt that way about my health and my body. And so I remember that kind of like beginning, like, I wonder if I'll ever have the health that I'll be able to carry a baby. So you want me to keep going from
yeah,
there?
Yeah, that's amazing to even be that aware of that at that age. But, you know, I totally get it. Yeah, keep going.
Yeah. And maybe just a small prehistory to that is at age 2, my parents were putting socks on my hands and taping them at night because I had eczema head to toe and I was itching in my sleep. And so, yeah, I was on medications as a kid. And I was like one of those weird kids at the time in the 80s. It was weird to have a bunch of allergies and have all these, yeah, you know, symptoms, which was normal for me. But I felt like, wow, there's something really wrong with me. Like I was like unusually sensitive. Now I feel like it's a lot more normal. But yeah, so then, I mean, there's like a whole part from age around 15 to 25 where I really worked on my health, both with food and also like states of emotions. And I was definitely like very repressed. It wasn't really, feelings were a problem in my family. And so I learned to kind of just stuff them down. So doing the physical piece, the emotional piece. Then, yeah, around age 25, I lived at Esalen actually for 5 years, which was a really incredible experience. Esalen Institute, which is a retreat center in Big Sur, for those of you that don't know, was really powerful. And around then, I started feeling really healthy. I started feeling really good. And then I had got into a relationship, thought I was going to have, you know, be with this one guy, have kids. That didn't pan out. And so at 32, I met my current partner who we now have a family together. And at that point I was feeling really good and really healthy. And so, yeah, I mean, we actually got pregnant extremely easy. I literally had my IUD removed and we weren't even really trying. I mean, we obviously had the intention, but we got pregnant our first try on a cruise ship.
That's not even fun. Oh, on a cruise ship. Okay. We can talk about that. I want to go back a little bit because you said something interesting. You said, you know, it's really common now. And I'm like, well, of course it is. Cause look at the crap we're eating. Like all these things that in the 70s, 80s, 90s used to be like, you're this really small percentage of people that struggle with this is now much more normal. And I don't know why we haven't woken up and thought, well, that's not a good thing. It's not good for this stuff to be normal.
Yeah, I do think we are kind of waking up. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, the way that I've really come to look at it is like our bodies can like deal with a certain amount of toxins, which I would consider like our industrialized food system is like, it has a lot of added stuff, a lot of chemicals and stabilizers and pesticides and all this that the Industrial Revolution, for better or for worse, gave us. And what I've seen is that like, we can kind of get away with it for like a generation, but then depending on what our parents ate and then the kids of those parents, that then it starts to really see the symptoms, which I would actually even include infertility in that. Because infertility
absolutely
is like, I mean, this is your specialty, but there are more and more people like crazy suffering, you know, struggling with infertility.
Yeah. I have a son who's 24 who's autistic. And so when you're in any kind of specialty realm or something outside of like normal human being with no real struggles, you start to see how many people are suffering from certain things. And I think it's just a matter of becoming curious about why is that so on the rise? Why is it happening? And my situation's real specific, but it definitely opened my eyes to like, this isn't like a genetic predisposition necessarily. This is an environmental predisposition.
Yes, and I love that the genetics piece. Yeah, I think it's having issues, having health issues is actually becoming a lot more common. It's actually becoming more
It is.
normal. And one of my really big mottos in my business is actually like de and renormalizing what we call food. I like to call the packaged stuff like man-made calories versus like food that's actually like nourishing our body. And yeah, with the genetics piece, it's like we all have different weaknesses, but when I was a kid, they said like it's 80% genetic and 20% environmental. And now those stats have really changed, and it's actually much more like 20% genetic and 80% environment. And our environmental factors cause our genetic weaknesses to either appear or not appear. And so there's actually a lot more that we can do with our environment that we can, help our genes either express these weaknesses or not express these weaknesses.
I read your information on your about page, and some of it's in the show notes. Like, you were really a pretty sick kid, and it was unusual at that time. And I love that I feel like maybe I'm wrong. You can correct me if I'm wrong. You sort of accidentally stumbled into like, oh, this might be an option. And not that there's only one way to do this, but whatever makes you stumble into a certain way of doing things differently, and I think Whole Foods is the answer. And that took you on a journey. So I would love to hear more about from the time that you were about that 15-ish until you were about 32, that journey, and that jumps into your business too. So, like, jump right into all of that.
Yeah, so around 15 was when I both like pressed my family doctor. I was like, look, what other solutions are there besides medications? Because all of the inhalers and the Slobid and all of the, cortisol shots that I was on, there were symptoms. I was like, I don't really want to live this life. Like, and I remember also realizing like I'm gonna be able to travel. Like I really felt the limits of my health. And my doctor was like, there's not really a solution. And I kept pressing him, and he kind of murmured like diet, stress, and lifestyle on the way out of the office. And I remember like this being like this little ping of like, what does that mean? That what other option is there? And right around the same time, one of my best friends was an animal rights activist, and she dared me to be vegan. She's like, I bet you can't even go 2 weeks without animal products. And I lived in this small town south of Yosemite National Park. There was no vegan products in 1996, I think that would have been 97. And so it just meant that I ate fruits and vegetables, like whole food. And on day 10, I woke up and I was like, oh my gosh, like I didn't have this chronic headache. I didn't feel bloated. And I remember even feeling like colors were different. Like I could see colors and I was like, whatever this is, I want more of it. And that was when I really started like understanding how much food was impacting me and really started changing my diet. I was actually vegan for 9 years, which I don't necessarily recommend, but it was part of my journey and it was useful. And I kept having friends kind of come to me and friends of friends be like, hey, I have this like thing going on with my stomach or with my skin. And I was just like, well, this is what I'm doing. And then it kept working person after person. And I was like, oh, maybe I'm not particularly broken. Maybe like this like essentially whole food idea is actually helping all kinds of symptoms.
And I'm not like, I've never been vegan. I've never wanted to be vegan. It wasn't that piece as much as it was when you are on some sort of elimination diet and you're cutting out. I was talking to my daughter and her husband this morning. We work out in the morning, and he's like, if you cut out all of the bad oils and flour, just do those two things. You're going to see a remarkable difference in your health and your weight and how you feel. So it's not about you need to be on this thing. It's cutting out all the garbage that you don't realize infiltrates your life. And you did that in a really big way that then you could ease off on, but really you're eliminating all the garbage in your life. And it's
And I love that
hard.
you It is. And yeah, because there's so, and I love that you like bring in the bad oils piece, because the way I like to call it is the seed oils,
Right.
because they're just really highly processed and they're really hard for our body to process and they cause a lot of issues, but they're in everything. They're in almost every packaged item. They're in all of the restaurants. And so cutting those out alone is like a massive lifestyle
Massive.
change.
Massive. Yeah, they are in everything. If you want to go find like chips and dip, just salsa and chips. That's all you want to find. You can find them. I think you're right about awareness, because it's possible to find packaged chips and buy them that don't have any of the bad oils in them. But yeah, you go to if you've eliminated all of that from your diet, and we go out to eat, and I just have a burger, and it's even good meat, like Angus or what Wagyu or whatever it is. If they're using an oil that is not one of the good oils, you are going to notice it immediately after eating that burger. It's huge.
Well, what I find actually is that people don't notice it. Like if they're eating it all the time, they actually don't feel it. You actually kind of have to create this like baseline of like not having it in your body to be able to feel it.
Absolutely. Yes. Yeah.
When
we first cut things out, I remember going to a restaurant and eating something and feeling so awful and thinking, why in the world do I feel so awful? And my husband was like, probably because of the oil they use. And I'm, you know, you're like, oh my gosh, you can't get away from it. You know, it can be challenging, but there are restaurants out there. There are packaged foods out there. Like it is possible to eat fairly like quote normal and still have it be all the things or not be anything that you don't want. But when you started, this was like not nearly as much as it is now.
Now it's becoming much more normal. There's a really great app, actually. I think it's called SOS, seed oil something, that actually like it's like nationwide and actually shows restaurants and places that you can get seed free oil, restaurants and grocery stores. And yeah, so that's a, yeah, there was no, none of these
Love
resources
it. No.
20 years ago.
So that's a great thing. But then people saw what a difference in your life it was making. And that was the thing. Like, I'm just eating everything that's whole food. So when you met your husband, I totally want to hear, not, I mean, when I say this, I'm not being perverse. I want to hear the story of getting pregnant on a cruise ship. But, you know, I mean, like, not super detailed, but how fun is that? And also how not fun is that? Because it took you no time. You didn't even have fun trying.
Yeah, we met at Burning Man actually in 2014, and I'm really lucky, really, I feel really fortunate. We are like so aligned food wise, although he was like making, so we lived on he got a job on a cruise ship. He was working as an environmental officer. So we were living on the cruise ship for 10 weeks and then off the cruise ship for 10 weeks and going rock climbing and traveling around the world. And so, yeah, we had actually planned a trip to Argentina just before we got pregnant, and then got pregnant right away. And yeah, we were living on a cruise ship when we got pregnant.
I thought it was like a vacation or something. That's awesome. That's incredible. So it happened pretty fast and easily. I'm guessing your cycles kind of leveled out with your, as part of your health getting better too.
100%. Yeah. I actually went on birth control when I was around 18 because I started having really crazy heavy periods, but then, and the birth control was horrible. I felt really horrible. I gained a bunch of weight, got really depressed. I did that for 6 months and I was like, hey, well, what else can I do besides this? Ended up working with actually intuitive doctor, and she did some stuff with some herbs. And by the time I was 22, I had awesome, regular, pain-free periods. And so from 22 till I got pregnant when I was 36, I had like easy, normal, like solid, regular, happy period. Well, regular is all relative, right? Like a lot of people think that a lot of pain is regular or PMS is regular. But yeah, I had really great hormonal health. And then, yeah, I got pregnant.
Now take me through having your daughter, because I know we have a grand plan and it doesn't always happen the way we were thinking it would.
What do you mean by grand plan?
What
Oh,
was
you
your,
mean that?
you were with a midwife, right?
Yes. The birth plan. Yeah. So I actually was pregnant on the cruise ship for a good portion of it, which was interesting trying to find food that was actually nourishing for me and the baby. That was a whole other piece. But yeah, I worked with a midwife. She was amazing. We actually did a lot of our appointments online. I had a relatively like easy, great pregnancy. I had a hernia, but I mean, it was just a minor thing. And then went back to California for like the period, like 2 months before birth, and then for 4 months after. And because that's where I had a lot of family and friends and where my midwife was. And yeah, I had a definitely a hard birth for sure. I went into labor on Monday afternoon, Monday night, went into the birth center and chose to use nitrous for pain relief. And the tank was like the little measuring thing on the tank, like wasn't accurate. So we ran out of nitrous and which was intense. And yeah, by Thursday night, so 3 days later, which yeah, it was a obviously very intense 3 days. And we decided to go to the hospital and check into the hospital. So yeah, well, they were like, I think I asked for the epidural before they offered it to me. I'm like, give me the
I mean, 3 days of labor is a long time. You can have a desire to do things a certain way, but birth is really unpredictable. Labor is unpredictable, and it just doesn't always go the way we think it's supposed to in this pattern perfect situation. So that's a shame, but sometimes necessary, unfortunately. And 3 days is a long time.
Yeah, it was a long time. My partner was amazing through the whole thing. He didn't sleep or yeah, he was with me the whole way. But yeah, I actually it didn't even like really occur to me that I would potentially have a C-section. Like I didn't even think about that option. But I did know my midwife would go with me to the hospital if that did happen. But like I hadn't even really thought through any of that. And I did after I had the epidural, I did ask if I could like try one more time because they offered me a C-section when I walked in. And so they gave me some Pitocin, and I think I actually slept for a few hours after the epidural, and then tried one more time, and then we went in for a C-section, and she was born at 9:31 on Friday morning. And yeah, it wasn't in the plan, but in the end, I'm grateful for Western medicine. I think it's not my first line of defense, but it was helpful. And the surgeon told me, he said, with my tailbone position and her, she was face up. And he said, between your tailbone and her position, and she also had a head in the 99th percentile, she was fully crowned, I think, for like, I don't know, 24 hours or something. But with her position and my tailbone, he said it wasn't possible, which probably there's some people who could argue that maybe it would be
Sure.
possible,
I mean, I'm not there. I think that that's a skewed, a hard thing to say. I don't think it's a cut and dry thing to say. Let's put it that way. I also think that there's a point in time where, like you said, Western medicine, I'm going to go to supplements and food and exercise and sunlight first every single time, but that didn't help me with my hysterectomy. There's a point in time where you've done everything you can in every area. You can support your body up to that C-section. You can support your body after that C-section, but it's not necessarily that the C-section wasn't going to happen. So I love that. I love, we have to kind of switch gears and balance things out. And Western medicine is there for a great reason. And, I'm glad that you feel that way. And then, so you, I know you had a lot of downtime because the 2 months before and the 4 months after. And I'm guessing, like, from the life that you've lived up to here, because you didn't talk a whole lot. You were like 5 years at one place in California training and working, and then you were in one place in New York, right? Am I right?
Yeah, so from 2004 to 2009, I was living between Esalen Institute, which is a retreat center in Big Sur that does all kinds of human potential, like all kinds of amazing workshops. I was living and working there and taking a lot of workshops. But then in the summers, I was going to upstate Ithaca, New York, which is it's a raw food detox center called Body Mind Restoration Retreats in the summertime, but it's run by a Zen monk and a whirling dervish woman. And so they, during the summer, they offer these raw food detoxes. And so I was running the kitchen there and studying under my incredible Zen monk teacher. And so I was living, I mean, I kind of consider that my real education. I went to school for graphic design, but this was like where I really learned a lot about the body and the mind and the emotions. And yeah, it was a really special experience.
You have her. So I'm guessing between that and being living on a cruise ship and just kind of you that sitting for four months after and 2 months before might have made you a little stir crazy. Tell me though, that changed and what you have such a fascinating story about how you have been raising your daughter. So I really want to segue into that and when the business inserted itself. I'm not sure the timeline there.
Yeah. So I think around the time I was pregnant, I realized like my partner is also he's my husband, but I like to use the word partner, man, but he is like loves traveling and moving, which I also love, but I was like, I want to contribute to the world. I want to have something. And if he's wanting to move a lot, like I need to have something that I can take with me. Mm-hmm. And so the idea of creating some kind of location independent business was like that seed was planted. I wasn't sure exactly how I started a blog. I think when I was pregnant, which was just kind of like about our experiences. And eventually that came in, I finally distilled into like, what is it that I want to create online? How do I, what kind of business, what kind of offering, what kind of engagement do I want to create? And yeah, when my daughter was 5 weeks old, he went back to the cruise ship and I was with her alone, which was definitely intense. Well, I was with a friend, but it was a lot. And then when she was 4 months, I flew my first international flight with her to Israel. He's from Israel. So we met in Israel for the summer because she couldn't go on the cruise ship until she was 6 months old. So the day she turned 6 months old, we reboarded the cruise ship. And she was on the cruise ship for the first couple of years of her life. 10 weeks on, 10 weeks off.
I think it's awesome. I just think it's so great that you have this. Well, I think I'm part gypsy. And so I suppress that sometimes for lots of different reasons. And so I think it's a vicarious thing for me. I'm like, yes, this is so great. I love that you did this. So I think it's really fun that, and I also believe that kids don't have to change your lifestyle. They definitely change some things. Like I was a runner. Well, now I have to run and push a stroller and it is different. You have to have the gear and you have to figure it out, but it doesn't mean I had to stop running. And that's an easy example. You guys didn't have to stop anything in your life. You had to wait 6 months. You had to do it differently. But you could still continue to live the life that you were living. And a child didn't make that stop. I think some people are under the impression that like, oh, everything changes. Everything stops. You got to do it all different. And I don't believe that you do have to do it all differently. So I think it's great.
Yeah, we lived out of 5 suitcases for several years. And yeah, one of them was a suitcase entirely full of rock climbing gear. So yeah, it was, the one thing that was really struggle was the food on the cruise ship. Like the food on the cruise ship was like doused in this like oil on one of the sea crossings. I saw the oil that they put on all the foods and it had like 17 ingredients. And so we did everything we could to not eat the cruise ship food, even though it was free for us. It was actually where I developed a number of my recipes. I have like an Amazon bone broth recipe and these salad toppings. We would like order like really plain food because he had a private room and we had room service. And we would like basically like concoct these like meals as healthy as we could from this like, you know, mini fridge, blender, popcorn maker, kettle, kitchen that we had. We did everything we could to eat as little of the cruise ship food as possible. I think for a week it's not a problem, but living there, like we just felt it so much in our body. And so, yeah, the food was a big thing. And feeding a baby, I mean, I breastfed her till she was 2 years old, but she wanted to eat food starting around age 5. And I really love Sally Fallon's work. And so with my daughter, I was like, okay, well, how do I like, cause so given my history of all these food allergies, I was like, I want to make sure that whatever I can do for her to set her up to not be a sick kid with all these food allergies, like what can I do? And so I really took a lot of my gut health and food knowledge and used Sally Fallon's book. She has one specifically for kids about how to build their gut flora and like how to feed them and all of these. So I did that with my daughter, and I mean, I feel like it was a massive success. She doesn't have any allergies at all. She's super, super healthy. And around the time when she was two is when I really started my business. It's actually when the it was actually 2020 when the pandemic hit. I finished my coach training, and we were supposed to take our last free flight for her home on March 22nd. And we were in Spain, we were in northern Spain, and the world shut down on for us, like all of our tickets started getting canceled on March 13th. And so we ended up spending 7 months in the Basque Country, which is where I actually like launched my business because everything shifted. And
Yeah, it
that's
did.
when I decided, okay, I'm doing food and mood, I'm helping people. Like it's I just yeah, it just kind of everything started really clicking for me. Like, what is it that I want to offer? This is what I really feel like I'm an expert in. And now, how do I switch this into my business? And it wasn't until she was really three, and we were in California, and we were at a forest school, this beautiful little forest school, and everything was still very locked down. They normally have family food sharing, and everyone had to bring their own food, no sharing, masks all day, masks outside. And one of the teachers is like, you know, I noticed that, like that your daughter, she is able to be well regulated all the way until 5 p.m., even on days where she's not taking a nap. And we're noticing what she's eating versus like these other kids, they're having bagels and they're like falling apart at 10 a.m. Would you teach the other parents how to feed their kids so they can be well more regulated so that our jobs are easier? And that was like a really big seed for me where I realized I really want to help families. I really want to help parents. I really want to help kids because at that point I felt like I really had what I had learned about my own body applied to my daughter's body and really saw the extremely strong connections and then also all the kids with all the issues. It's like for me, it's like, I don't know, I just really have a massive soft spot in my heart for all the kids and all the parents who are struggling. And so that's where I really started focusing on on that specific area.
I'm really glad you brought that up. It was definitely one of my questions. I, you know, my son that was that is autistic, I managed everything through diet with him. He was never medicated. And as an adult living semi-independently, he has a lot of health issues now. And I'm like, well, Gatorade and Snickers bars might be the cause of that. You know, I mean, it is a really significant, it makes a significant impact. And you were coming at it with your daughter. Well, I mean, you're coming at all of this from like you as a child and how you felt and not wanting other kids to feel that way or parents to feel like at a loss of what to do with their child, either behavior or whatever issues they're having. So it's so awesome that the education team noticed and said something like, hey, what are you doing differently? And again, that 20% genetics, you were making sure that didn't happen with her, but there's so it's 80%, it's the other 80%, right? So I love that you're doing that. So tell us, I want to end. I always end on a positive note. This is easy with you, but I want to talk more. I want some shameless self-promotion of your business. You are independent of location, but you do live here in Reno, Nevada with me, and you're helping your kids' school. So school programs are really, really near and dear to your heart. Expand on that with your business so that people know more about what you do specifically.
Yeah, I'm really touched that my daughter's school is letting me really be involved with making some food changes and also addressing like some of the emotional components because one of the big things that I think one of the things that it sets me aside and how I do I mean, you could put me under the umbrella of health coaching. I really like to look at it as food and mood specific. And really, what I like to work with is the relational aspect, the relation to our emotions, the relations to our food. And so often I see people trying to be healthy, like using this kind of restriction or willpower or this like bad food, good food. And I really like to work with like even like what you opened up like with the elimination diet and like
Yeah.
what we talked about with the restaurant. It's like, until we have like a baseline of like how does my body feel without these processed foods, then I don't even know what how good I could feel. And so I walk people through this very like non-restrictive, this more curious, this like, I give tools for like how to actually deal with emotions so that we don't need to use food. Because so often it's like, well, we just pacify ourselves or our kids with food. That's like what our culture teaches. And so the first part I do is I really work with like the mood component, like how are we actually like deal and face with our emotions, both with our kids and with ourselves, that doesn't involve food. So we kind of like open, like tease out that relationship. So that's like, okay, I have other tools, other ways that I can help my kid and myself with my emotions. And then we do the food piece and we really look at, okay, well, let's play with, and I really like to use the word play. Let's play with like, well, what kind of changes are you wanting to make? Because that want is really important. Like there's nothing you have to do. Like, how do you want to feel? What do you think you might like? What are the components? And then I help people foster that relationship with what they want and how they want to feel, or how they want their kids to be able to show up and, you know, regulate. And then fostering that connection so that it's really done with like curiosity and love. And then, you know, eventually you get to this place where you're like, I actually don't want that food anymore. And it's not from that. Because when we restrict, we rebel. And so it's like, I really specialize in that relationship.
I agree. And I think, unfortunately, like we already talked about the oil being in everything, right? And also sugar. I just think if there's a root of all evil, it might be processed sugar. Just all of the science behind how bad it is. And yet here we are. It's in everything. It's everywhere. It's almost impossible to get away from. And holy cow, do people want it? You want it because it makes you feel good initially. So what you're doing is, I love, you're almost reverse engineering the process. It's not like, oh, you have to do all these really big, hard things because you're forced to, and there's no other way. It's like, no, you get to do this and you get to look at how you feel and where is that coming from. I mean, food affects hormones. It affects everything. So
brain clarity.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the other thing that I really like to offer is like that we can still have treats. Like it's normal that we want to like enjoy and celebrate and indulge. And there are options. Actually, what I've really spent on the last 3 years with my daughter is like finding alternatives, finding fun food, finding like making homemade chocolate, making homemade cashew butter muffin rest, like homemade cashew butter muffins, that like there are these options that we can still really have a lot of fun with food, but it doesn't have to be with those processed sugars, processed oils. So that it's not about not having treats. It's about like understanding and educating. I was actually just in the principal's office yesterday and she's got this giant jar of like Halloween candy. And I was like, would you be open to me? Like, and she's like, well, I just really like how the teachers come in and then they want to talk with me. I was like, yeah, because there's this emotional component to these candies being here. I was like, but what do you think about like finding some alternatives? And she's like, oh yeah, you give me some like other options, I'm so in. I was like, well, what about a budget? She's like, I don't care about the budget. And I was like, great. So I'm going to help her find some alternative options to still enjoy food. It's not about not enjoying food. It's not about just eating carrot sticks.
It's very emotional and it brings people together and it initiates a lot of positive, happy thoughts. And so, no, you, first of all, you have to eat. Second of all, there's obviously an emotional connection. So yeah, doing it in a way that brings out that happiness and yet is not garbage. I'm so glad you're focusing on that. That is great. Cause it's not about like, no, you're going to eat carrot sticks and be happy forever. This is it, because that wouldn't work. That's not sustainable.
Yeah.
I'd love you to leave me with like a positive thought. It can be from your experience or someone you've worked with or something about a change that was made or something that shifted with them, a realization that happened, because I think that happens a lot with people that will get everyone listening kind of going and wanting to do this more.
So one of my, I quote this one client all the time, because it's just so beautiful. She's a grandma and she was very resistant to a lot of the changes. But she was in so much pain that she was like at this desperate place where she's like, I'll just do whatever. And she came to me one session and she was like, Chandra, I was at a party this weekend. There was cake and I didn't want any. And she was just like, her mind was blown. You know, it was like, Yeah, it was like that. She wasn't fighting herself, you know, she wasn't,
Yeah.
you know, restricting. She was like, I just didn't want it. I wanted to feel good. And I knew how that cake was going to make me feel. And she was like, I didn't have to like restrain myself. I just naturally didn't want it. It was, yeah, really special moment.
Chandra, thank you so much for coming on and sharing your story and your business. And it was so fun.
Yes. Thank you so much, Jen, for your hosting and letting me come on. And yes, thank you. Thank you. Thank you.